doesn't matter what the calendar says. The year doesn't begin on January 1st. It doesn't begin with spring either. Culturally, psychologically, spiritually, the new year really begins when summer's finally over and a year older and a year wiser, we all go back to school. This is the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, August 30th, 2006. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, the podcast goes back to school. Labor Day is upon us. That means, of course, that children, students, parents, and teachers are already revving up for yet another school year. It's a ritual that I haven't participated in for 20 years since college. But still, I always feel tension in my gut this time of year. I gear up for big projects. I tell myself I have to do better this time. On today's podcast, we're going to hear two school-related poems, one from a parent's point of view, the other from a child's. The parent's point of view comes from Gerald Stern.
This poem is very simple poem. It's about taking my daughter when she was 17 years old to meet a friend of hers. They were off to go to college. And I was, you know, heartbroken, sad, full of guilt and remorse and sadness and love, the way a father is to see his daughter go off, leave home for the first time.
Gerald Stern's poem is called Waving Goodbye.
I wanted to know what it was like before we had voices, and before we had bare fingers, and before we had minds to move us through our actions, and tears to help us over our feelings. So I drove my daughter through the snow to meet her friend and filled her car with suitcases and hugged her as an animal would, pressing my forehead against her, walking in circles, moaning, touching her cheek, and turned my head after them as an animal would, watching helplessly as they drove over the ruts, her smiling face and her small hand just visible over the giant pillows and coat hangers as they made their turn into the empty highway.
Gerald Stern reading his poem, Waving Goodbye. You can't help but wonder if his 17-year-old daughter was maybe just a bit relieved to get away from her wounded poet dad, who was apparently making quite a spectacle of himself.
Pressing my forehead against her, walking in circles, moaning, touching her cheek.
Oh my God, you can hear his daughter saying to herself. But this is a poem from the point of view of the dad, and I, for one, find it impossible not to feel his grief.
As they drove over the ruts, her smiling face and her small hand just visible over the giant pillows and coat hangers as they made their turn into the empty highway.
The next poem starts from the point of view of a little girl in kindergarten. It's by Mary Carr, and it's called Revelations in the Key of K. The speaker in the poem is remembering a time in class when the alphabet, especially the letter K for some reason, began to take on an almost numinous significance for her. A few things happen in class. A boy makes a mean drawing of her. She gets in trouble with the teacher for repeating foul language that she heard her mother use. Then the memory of kindergarten dissolves and the poet is jerked back into the present. Revelations in the Key of K by Mary Carr is read by Anne O'Sullivan.
I came awake in kindergarten, under the letter K chalked neat on a field green placard leaned on the blackboard's top edge. They'd caged me in a metal desk, the dull word writ to show K's sound. But K meant kick and kill when a boy I'd kissed drew me as a whiskered troll in art. On my sheet, the puffy clouds I made to keep rain in let torrents dagger loose. Screw those who color in the lines, My mom had preached words I shared that landed me on a short chair facing the corner's empty sheetrock page. Craning up, I found my K high above. "You'll have to grow to hear," its silence said. And in the surrounding alphabet, my whole life hid names of my beloveds, sacred vows I'd break. With my pencil stub applied to wall, I moved around the loops and vectors Z to A, learning how to mean, how in the mean world to be. But while I worked, the room around me began to smudge, like a charcoal sketch my mom was rubbing with her thumb. Then the instant went, the month and every season smeared, till, with a wrenching arm tug, I was here, grown, but still bent to set down words before the black eraser swipes our moment into cloud, dispersing all to zip. And when I blunder in the valley of the shadow of blank, about to break in half, my being leans against my spinal K, which props me up, broomstick straight, a strong bone in the crypt of meat I am.
Anne O'Sullivan reading Revelations in the Key of K by Mary Carr. For poets, the alphabet, theoretically at least, must contain every possibility. You just have to rearrange the letters and presto, the mystery of the world suddenly reveals itself in language. The speaker in Mary Carr's poem captures this feeling of possibility when she describes her kindergarten self looking up at the cardboard letters on top of the blackboard.
Craning up, I found my K high above. "You'll have to grow to hear," its silence said. And in the surrounding alphabet, my whole life hid names of my beloveds, sacred vows I'd break.
No wonder she became a poet. And now that she is one, she finds herself in the same vulnerable relationship to language that she felt as a child.
I was here, grown, but still bent to set down words before the black eraser swipes our moment into cloud, dispersing all to zip.
So poetry, if I'm reading this right, poetry is written on a metaphorical chalkboard as black as death itself. And the poet's urge towards poetry survives even her knowledge that the great eraser in the sky will one day wipe out everything we do or say.
And when I blunder in the valley of the shadow of blank, about to break in half, my being leans against my spinal K, which props me up, broomstick straight, a strong bone in the crypt of meat I am.
Mary Carr's latest book is Sinner's Welcome, out from HarperCollins. Gerald Stern's latest, published by Norton, is called Everything is Burning. You can also read poems by both poets on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where the cover story this week is Wisława Szymborska's advice to writers and aspiring poets. While you're there, be sure and check out the back-to-school annotated list of poems for teachers and students, and anybody else, for that matter. I'm trying to think of poems by teachers about their students. The only one that comes to mind is Theodore Retke's Elegy for Jane. I'm wondering if you can think of any others. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For the PoetryFoundation.org podcast, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.